interview with Kenny Dean Jolly of Maeslick, Kentucky, on January 30th, 1987. The interviewer is Lynn David. Okay, now, tell me about hog killing.
Okay, first they would take a hog into this barn back here, and they would shoot it or stab it or something, because I never was allowed to see that. Then they'd tie their feet to these poles, and both feet, all four feet.
Yeah.
And then they would put them in a great big vat made out of iron or something. And underneath that vat was fire. And they'd fill it full of water, and they would scald these hogs in order to take the hair off the hog. Then they would soak it, maybe go maybe 10 or 15 minutes, take it out, and hang it up on these long poles. They had knives that were about 24 inches, maybe, about like that. And they would begin to scrape the hair off the hog. And after they had done that, they would bring the hog to the smokehouse, where they, again, hung them up and would begin to take a knife and cut down the middle of them.
Down the belly.
Down the belly part of them. And then they would begin to take wash tubs and fill the wash tubs with the insides of the hog. They used as much meat as they could, the hams. They made sausage. I can remember Mamaw making what they call cracklings out of the fat.
How would she make cracklings?
She would take the fat and put them in them. You've seen these great big kettles.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fill those full, and somehow, some kind of a process, they would take and cook those, and they would get real hard. And they called them cracklings. And they were just like eating potato chips, but they were, I could hardly, you know, chew on them. They were good, solid. And they would take some of the meat and make sausage out of them. She had a huge meal. And she had her own recipe, which you found in that book, for seasoning the meat. They put sage and pepper and all kinds of meat stuff, or seasonings, in this meat. And she'd sit there and grind and grind and grind. And she made her own sausage bags out of some kind of cotton, what do they call it? Muslin. And she'd sew those up during the summertime. Because the only time they kill hogs was in the wintertime. So the flies and whatever wouldn't bother. And then they would fill these sacks with their sausage and tie them and label them a lot of times. And then they'd take the outer part of the hog, or like the legs, and they'd cut them up, the hams. They'd salt the hams, and they'd lay them out on a great big bench, and they'd leave that for maybe 3 or 4 months and salt them every so often. They'd salt them or sugar them. Some people sugar. I think Papaw did a whole lot of salting. And a lot of it, the heads, I don't know what they did with the heads.
Now the hams, did they turn them?
Yeah, they would turn them so often, you know.
They laid them on a bench in
the meat house.
In the
big
meat house.
Long, big meat house. Mostly over the winter time they would do this.
Did they smoke it at all?
No, they did not smoke their hams. Now, I know a lot of people did, but they never, as to my knowledge, I can't remember Papaw ever doing that. Then I think when summer come, they hung the hams up to hang on the hook.
Yeah.
And then when, over the summer, then when next year, they never eat those hams. They kept them for a whole year before they eat them.
Did they cover them with anything?
I think cheesecloth. If I can remember. Cheesecloth. And then Mamaw, after we get done, Mamaw had a big dinner already fixed. All you had to do was go in and sit down. And I think there was all of them jumped in and helped, all the five of them. It was just like a big party.
Her five children,
and their, well, there wasn't too many grandkids at that time. I think there was just me and Lynn and Harry Davis were the only grandchildren she had out of the five.
We talked about Mama and your grandfather. What were their names?
Her name was Lily Frances Berry, and his was Alfred Owen Insto.
So you remember your grandparents pretty good then?
Well, my grandmother died in 65. No, my grandmother died in 75, and my grandfather died in 72. He was 80 when he died, and my grandmother was 83 when she died. She lived with us for about 6 months before she died.
Do you ever remember your grandma or grandfather telling you stories about when they grew up? Or
not,
the way they used to do things?
Well, the way they used to do, they is more or less like they did in the pioneer days. They carried in all their water. They had no bathroom, no modern conveniences at all. They went to the Maysville once a year. They had a huckster came around maybe twice a week. Now, this was kind of like a grocery store on wheels. I can remember going, and my grandmother, like I said, lived for about a mile and a half off of the main road, and we drove an old car to catch the huckster, and on the huckster had everything. I mean, material, needles, thread, bubble gum, flour, sugar, spices. It was actually a grocery store on wheels. And they had their own meat. They had their own chickens. I think they did grind a lot of their flour because they take it to the Germantown mill and have it ground into flour. My grandmother was a fantastic cook. I can remember going just about every Sunday. We lived about 15 miles from where she lived, and we would go to church on Sunday morning, and we'd go to Mamaw's for dinner, and she'd have fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, corn, and usually an angel food cake. And she made me an angel food cake every year from my birthday until I was 25 years old.
She made it from scratch.
She made it from scratch, and it was at least a foot tall with dark pink icing. And it was not any kind of pink you would see today. It was a different kind of pink. And it was always pink, and it was always the same thing. I can taste it right now. She made a lot of my clothes when I was little. She made all of her clothes. She quilted in the wintertime, and I have two of her quilts upstairs.
She quilt on a machine or quilt by hand?
No, by hand. She had a machine. She had a treadle. And I'm not sure where the treadle went to, but it's not around anymore. She washed on a washboard when I was real small. I think Mother finally talked her into buying a wringer type.
So they had electricity on the farm.
They finally got electricity about 1940-something, I think. Mom grew up with a oil light, old candles and stuff. That's the only thing they had. They didn't have a whole lot of modern conveniences. They had a well right next to the house. They carried the water in, put it in a great big old pickle jug, and it was cold. It stayed cold. I don't know why it would stay cold in a pickle jug, but it did. And they drank out of
a dipper?
Dipper, yeah. And she grew gourds, and they had gourd dippers at some time. And they raised cows. They milked some. They did have their own milk, too, way back when the kids were coming up. But they did milk and sold the milk. And she had a cream separator, seen one of those? Cream separator?
Tell me about it. What kind of machine?
It was a great big old black machine that had a container on the top of it that you put the milk in. It had a hole in the bottom that you put a pad in, because usually the milks weren't real clean when they come in. And this put the milk in this great big container. It would go down and around and out, and it would separate the milk from the cream.
heavier cream would stay in the main part,
yeah,
than in the milk.
Yeah, it would go out the other part. And they would put this in jars and keep the cream. And they sold that. And my grandmother sold eggs, too. She had a hen house.
Did people come to her, or did she go other places?
Sometimes they came to her. Sometimes I think she took them to the, Papaw took them to the market. Mama didn't do financial. That was not the thing for her to do. But she did sell eggs. And I can remember going to the hen house and putting my hand down underneath the chicken, and it was real warm. And the eggs would be real warm. And if you wasn't real careful, you'd get pecked.
Yeah.
You'd get a good one. Now, if they weren't, if they, the chicken was had or stayed on her eggs or babies, she'd really get you because she wouldn't you bother her eggs. And I've seen baby chickens hatched, and I've seen turkeys. Mamaw had maybe 25 or 30 turkeys at one time. And the turkeys wouldn't lay their eggs in the hen house. They laid their eggs out in the field, and you had to go find their eggs a lot of times, and you could hear old turkeys gobbling all over the hillsides, and she'd go out and check on the nest to make sure there wasn't anything bothering those eggs. They had foxes, too.
Yeah.
And, oh, maybe in the fall of the year, they'd come three or four little turkeys up out of the hollow, baby turkeys.
So she really wasn't interested in collecting the turkey eggs.
No, no. She didn't, because more or less, yeah, the turkeys were for eating. And she fed them every night, ground corn, and you could see those turkeys' eggs were speckly. And they weren't like a chicken egg. They're bigger than a chicken,
yeah,
egg. And you hear them all gobbling back in the hills, back in behind her house.
Now, you're talking about her house. Their home, where was their farm?
Their farm was located between Mount Olivet and Germantown. It was on what they call the Pea Ridge Road, and there is a place where they call Abigail, and we lived right at the road started right at the top of the Abigail Hill, and it went about a mile and a half down a ridge, which was nothing more than a rock road, and there were four houses along this road. Papaw bought the farm in the early 1900s. I think he'd get $98 for the farm. It's about 180 acres. The house was log. There were about 8 rooms in the house. The upstairs was for the 4 boys, and one room off of the side of that was for my mother.
Now, what were their children's names?
Evan is the oldest. Owen is next. Ira Lynn is next. Then my mother, and then Ray.
And what was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Mabel Dean Dunstow. And she was a tomboy. She was raised with 4 boys.
Then the children were born at home. Did your mom?
Every one of them. And my grandmother was also a midwife when she was younger. And she delivered, I don't know how many babies. They would get ready to have their babies. They'd come and get her, and she'd go off and deliver their kids. She taught school when she was about 18 years old in a one-room schoolhouse. I have seen one of them that she taught in.
Where was that?
It's in Robertson County, and I don't recall the name of the road at all, but... When my grandmother and my grandfather were first married, they lived in this house, and it did completely burn to the ground. They didn't save anything.
Now, that's not the farm you
bought. No. After the house burned, Papa did buy the farm.
Now, they where were they originally from then? Were they both from Robertson County?
No, they weren't from Robertson County. They were from Brighton County. I can barely remember Papa talking about living in Brighton. Bridgetown was where Mamaw's people were from, or Papaw's people, I'm not real sure. Papaw's people came from Czechoslovakia, and I'm not sure where my grandmother's people came from.
So his parents came from Czechoslovakia.
Uh-huh. I think so. Something went wrong in there. I don't remember. I just think it was the two of them, his sister and him. And like I said, my grandmother's mother was married twice. She was married to Woodard the first time. And she had a son, Charlie. And then she married the Barry and had my grandmother and her sister. And I don't know where she was from or who she was before she even married her.
So you don't remember, who was your grandmother's sister, you said? What was her name? Her name, rather.
She was... Oh, she's Betty Joseph
Moran's
mother, but oh gosh, Aunt Rosie. Her name was Rosie. Okay, Rosie, and she married Norm, and she had five kids too. And they all had five.
Do you remember your grandmother ever talking about growing up as a little girl?
She went to school in one room schoolhouse. I've got a picture somewhere. I think Uncle Larry took it of her in. Going to school with no shoes on. Face was dirty as could be. I suppose they weren't very clean in those days. I see a lot of pictures that the kids look like they need a good scrubbing. She was, I think when she got to be about 18 or 19 years old, they were hired out or went to stay with other people and did work for those people in order to get their room and board and like an apprentice,
yeah.
Until they were married. I know my grandmother got married, and she cooked hams for when I think she got married in the morning and went right to work that afternoon and cooked for the hams.
Where did she learn midwifing? Did you ever know?
No, I don't know where she did that. But she had all five of hers at home.
You don't know whether everybody else was with her or not?
No.
Your grandfather, did he ever talk about as being a young boy, or living in Czechoslovakia, or living
here?
No, he
didn't live in Czechoslovakia.
He was born here.
He was born here. Only thing is, they, at the age of 14 or 15, he was left home and went to work.
You know what it did?
Farm, mostly. Mostly what they, you know, most what the kids did at that time. Their parents were so poor they couldn't keep them. So they would let them out to other families that could take care, afford to take care of them for the work. And he was a strong man. I know he was crippled at a young age. He fell through a wagon bed and busted his ankle. And of course, he was so stubborn he would never do anything about it. And he grew crooked. And he limped. He walked with a limp. He walked with a cane. And he became a very big man. I'd say he weighed about 280 pounds. And he was quite a character. He never had anything good to say about anything. And if you start, he liked to argue. He'd sit and argue with you over the weather. When I was little, he'd always tell me I was going to get cancer if I didn't keep something on my head. And I'd come in with sandals on, he'd always fuss, "Can't you wear shoes?" And shorts were a no-no. You never wore shorts to my grandmother's or grandfather's house, period. That was absolutely out. They just frowned upon that terribly.
Did they do anything for entertainment? You were,
they sang. They had my mother played the piano. All three of the brothers played some kind of an instrument. And on Christmas, that was a big highlight too. They'd all come and bring their instruments, and they'd play music in the afternoon. And the kids stand around and clapping their hands and a singing. They did that. I can remember that real well. My uncle Ira had a mandolin. Owen played the fiddle. Evan played the guitar. Mother played the piano. Mother didn't play the piano when I was around. This was before my time. But
yeah.
I can remember the boys playing in the kitchen. And then as Harry Davis grew up, he played the guitar. Yeah, they were very musical. Now, I don't think my grandmother played or my grandfather either one.
Wonder where, how they learned that.
Mother learned in Bridgetown. She rode a horse to take piano lessons.
So your folks thought it was important that they took these lessons.
Oh, yes, very much so. And it was important for them to get an education, but Mother didn't finish high school because she had to walk 8 miles to catch a bus. And in the wintertime, it got pretty bad. The two, Owen and Eben, neither one finished school. Ira did go to Bracken County and stayed with the family and finished high school. And then he went on to Eastern for about 2 years. But now, Mother was a self-educated person. She read constantly. And if she could have lived a little longer, I believe she would have got her diploma, or her, went on to college, because Mother was a very smart lady.
Could your grandparents read?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So they, well, you said your grandmother taught school.
Oh, yes.
But your grandfather could read.
Yes, he could read. He was very intelligent. He was a very good farmer when he was able to farm. He wasn't a very good manager, but he made a living off the farm. He raised all of them off the farm. Of course, with four boys, he didn't have to hire any labor or anything, and it was, you know, wasn't too hard on him.
When they got older.
Yeah. And one of them stayed with him until he died. He stayed on the farm.
Which one stayed?
Ray.
Ray stayed.
Ray stayed on the farm.
Did he inherit the farm then?
No. No, he did not inherit the farm. My grandfather died and left everything to Mamaw. And when Mamaw died, the farm was put up for sale. And it's now owned by someone else.
When they talk about singing, what kind of songs did they sing? Do you
know? Oh, sometimes they sang spiritual songs. Some, not all the time. They played a lot of fiddle songs, fast moving pace. They liked that.
What they call bluegrass?
Yeah, a lot of bluegrass. A lot of it, especially with the mandolin. My uncle Owen has my father's fiddle that I want back one of these days. That's over 100 years old.
So that fiddle was passed down? Yeah.
Well, it wasn't passed to his family. It was passed through my father's family. But Uncle Owen could play the fiddle, and Daddy let him borrow it, and he still got it, and I want it back. Because I want to give it to my son.
Did your grandparents attend church any place?
My grandmother was she was a Southern Baptist. She was a very devoted Christian lady. My grandfather was a Christian. But he didn't attend church, not near like my mother. Grandmother did, because of his leg. And then as he got older, his hearing became poor, and he just didn't go. But my uncle, Ira, lived in Maysville. He came from Maysville to my grandmother's house every Sunday and took her to church. And then if he was coming out on Wednesday night, he'd come and get her on Wednesday night. But she didn't attend church on Sunday night, not like she would have liked to, because she did not drive a car at all. And I think he tried to teach her, and she just couldn't learn.
Did you ever hear any stories in your family about Civil War times?
My grandmother's father was in the Civil War, and he was on the Confederate side. I have seen his glasses and his discharge papers, but I've never heard him talk much about the Civil War.
She'd have been pretty small then.
She wasn't born.
She was born after the Civil War.
After the Civil War. But her father did fight him. Now, I don't know anything about Papaw's people at all about the Civil War.
Did you ever hear any stories? Were they troubled at all by the Knight Riders?
I've heard her talk about Bonnie and Clyde, and that was in the 30s, coming through, and everybody locking their doors, and was scared at the time. My mother remembered when the blimp blew up.
The Hindenburg,
and being very scared. And she remembered the planes that came over. It was such a thrill to them to see an airplane go over, and they'd run out of the house and look up the sky just to see the airplanes go over, you know. And I can remember as a little girl that planes were been around for a long time, but they still do it. They'd run out to see the planes up in the sky.
Did your grandparents run out too?
Yeah. And my grandfather, I forgot to tell you that, he was the gatekeeper for the old Germantown Fair. At least 30 or 40 years. And that was a big thing to them, was to get to go to the fair each year. And they had a big part in the Germantown Fair.
Well, he was gatekeeper. What other part?
He took care of the money and took up the tickets. And they didn't have fairs in nighttime like they do now. They had them in the daytime. And Mama would take her cakes and put them on display and her quilts. And I don't think they show cattle. That's where they got into the horses, showing the horses a lot.
Your grandparents showed horses?
Yes, and my uncles showed horses.
What kind of horses did they show?
Walking horses, fancy horses, the high-stepping horses. My goodness, they all had real fancy horses, nice, sleek lines. And that was a big ordeal to them, and they'd take their dinner, put it out on the ground. I can see Mamma now in her long dress falling over her feet and her basket, your mom.
Now, your grandmother, did she always wear long dresses even in later years?
No, she didn't wear them down to her ankles. They were just not short, by no means. I'd say about to the mid length. But she never did wear real fancy high heels. They were always the lace-up shoes. And she was very modest, very modest. Didn't wear any jewelry much, only her wedding band. She wore a lot of black and dark colors, always a hat, always gloves, always a purse. Her purse felt like had a brick in it because she carried everything in the kitchen sink. She was, just a super person. She always had a saying for everything.
Remember any of her sayings?
I got some of them wrote down.
Do you really?
I put some of them in the back of my Bible. This is I get these things all the time. God doesn't balance his books every day, but he does balance them. Happiness is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. He or she who talks the loudest should be the quietest. Some of these are mine, too.
You got to live the Bible before you talk it.
Right.
You don't have to open your mouth for someone to know you love Jesus. The person who prays a lot is less likely to get into trouble. Someone must do the job
first. Someone must do the job, and the someday the someone will be you. The wise man said it couldn't be done, but the fool did it. And then life has a way of handing out its own diplomas. I like that one.
If
hard work or labor made a rich man, then a coal miner and farmers would be rich.
You can't talk it if you can't walk it.
That was one of Mother's favorites. If there's a job to be done, don't look at it. Do it. If you don't know how, seek help, but just don't look at it. In other words, you don't stand around and look at something to be done. If you see it needs to be done, go on and do it.
The greatest rewards in life are doing the things you think you can't do.
I read this one this morning. I put it in. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't be concerned. Let's see. We won't concern ourselves with what's fair. Fair. I like that one.
I like that one, too.
Because I learned a long time ago, you don't question what God does, why he does it. You just don't. If you keep thinking why this or why that happened, there's no answer to it.
No.
And you won't find out until you're gone to heaven to find out.
But your grandmother was big on quoting things like
that. Oh, yeah, very much so. She had a quote for everything. I don't know if there's
in some of her letters, but one of the ones I remember the most, "Pretty is pretty does." I heard that once, I heard it twice. And always be a lady. Now, I didn't understand that one until I got married. And what else? But she was very much on women being in their place.
What did she think their place was?
At home. You just didn't try to do a man's job. A woman had her place, a man had his place, and yours was in the kitchen. They raised a big garden, but she didn't go out and work in the garden.
That was
the boys did that. She did the cooking, she did the laundry, she did the inside work, they did the outside work. If there had to be the house had to be painted, they painted it. She didn't. They did.
Men did all that. Now, you also said your grandmother didn't go get the money for her eggs or anything.
No, sir. A woman did not handle money.
At all?
No. That was a no-no. That's the way they had control over women. Women didn't have any money, so they had to be.
Yeah.
They had to stay under a man's thumb.
But your grandmother thought this was the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Until my grandfather died and she found out she could had her own money, she'd do whatever she wanted to. Then she got carried away. She bought her a TV. She got her telephone. She bought her a new gas stove, new refrigerator, new cook stove. She cooked on an old stove for years. They have to go get the coal to go in the stove in order for her to cook.
So you're not so sure that maybe Grandma believed it, or that's just the way she...
That's the way she thought she had to believe that was the way it was until after Papa was gone. And then Mother clued her in on a lot of things that you didn't really have to do these things.
Was your grandfather a loving man or a stern?
He wasn't a very affectionate person. I think he loved his kids, but I can remember him, Mother said he would take a belt to the boys and whip them so hard that she was afraid he was going to hurt them. And he brought them up to be afraid of him. Of course, I think that was the way they did things back then anyway.
Did your grandmother seem afraid of him?
Yeah, to a point. You never heard him argue. And he'd say, "That's enough," and that was the end of it.
That was all it was to it.
And Mother was afraid of him until she got married and got away from him. But whatever he said was law. And like I said, he'd fuss at me about wearing my sandals to his house. "Why don't you get some shoes on that kid? Why don't you buy her some shoes?" and that kind of thing. But now I think he was good to me, Ma. To his standards.
Yeah.
But he could have been a little bit better for her. Mommy always fussed him why he didn't build a new house for her, because he could afford it, and put in some modern convenience for her when she got older. Her sister had a nice new house and running water and stuff like that, but he wouldn't do it.
You didn't say
there wasn't any need for it. There wasn't any need for it. There wasn't any need for a person having an education. He wasn't any need for school taxes. You taught your kids at home. You don't go to school.
But now he sent his kids to school.
He sent them. Mamaw sent them.
That's one place she defied him then.
Yeah, she did defy him then. Yeah, I can remember him when Robertson County had the first school tax. He raised totally Cain over people. That was a whole bunch of waste and nonsense. Of course, I don't think he was ever in the school. You know, he didn't know what was going on.
And yet he married a school teacher.
Yeah.
They ever talk about when they met and how they courted?
No, not that I can recall.
It seems odd that someone who taught school and believed in education would marry a man who was so against it.
I know. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, it really is.
Like I said, you couldn't get close to him. You couldn't get him to open up and tell you a lot of things.
Your mom didn't remember any stories that you heard at the time.
No. course, Mom's been gone 9 years. And I can't remember a whole lot of that. Mom, when I was little, would go at least twice a week and help my mom. My grandmother had strokes, facial strokes, when she was in her 50s. And she wasn't what you call, couldn't do a lot of things, but she was frail. And Mom did go and help her out an awful lot as she got older.
Now, how old was your mother when she got married?
My mother was 24. She got married.
And who did she marry?
She married Kenneth Shepherd. He was from Robertson County, but he was lived at Piqua. And I'm not exactly sure how they met. He had three brothers and a sister. And kind of odd, there were four boys and a girl in that family, too.
How'd they meet?
I think the brothers and Uncle Larry and all of them ran around together at Sardis, and that's where she met him. She dated him through the war, and when he came home, they were married a year later.
You're talking about World War II?
Yeah.
So they were married in 1946.
Mm-hmm. And I was born in 1947.
How many kids did they have?
Two.
Just you and
Tony. 14 years after I was born, Tony was born.
What'd your dad do for them?
My dad has always farmed. Always. He's been on the Jackie Collins farm for 36 years.
Now, you say he's been on the farm. Is he tenant farms now?
He's been a tenant farmer all his life. He's 65 years old now.
And he's still farming.
And he's still farming. Well, he milked cows for 25 years. They had a dairy, not a big dairy. They milked, I think the largest they ever milked was about 34 cows. But they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, ate their breakfast, went to the barn, my mother and my father both.
Did your dad ever talk about growing up, how it was like?
Yeah, he grew up about in the same circumstances as my mother did. His father was part Indian, and he's a native of Kentucky. His mother, I'm not sure of. She was a shepherd. But
now you say part Indian, you know what tribe?
No. But Papa always said he was Indian. And they came from Piqua. Papa was always a tenant farmer. My grandmother died when Daddy was 17. And they had moved from Piqua to Maeslick. And Daddy went to Maeslick school. He like 3 months graduating from Maeslick. And the war broke out, and he joined the Army. And he was in Germany, and Daddy was had shell shock. They took him back to England for 3 months, and he didn't know where he was at. They said he wasn't. And he was better. I mean, he was okay. And he went back to farming, and that's all he's ever done.
But he really didn't know too much. You were never heard too many stories.
No, about. I've heard him talk about walking along the creek and going to school, and he wore his white pants to school in the middle of dead winter, and the kids making fun of him, and he was walking, and his mother had absolutely told him not to get in the creek, and of course he did. He fell, and he got a spanking, and I've heard him tell about his brother. There were, let's see, Walter B., Horse,
H-O-R-S-E?
H-O-R-S-E, Horse. He's passed away.
Was that his real name?
That's his real name, Horse. And he was a horse, too, because he was big.
I wonder why they call him Horse.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's hard to be Horse. Kelly, Kenneth, and Mary Lucille. You see, there's this thing, there's the side on this thing on the thing side. I can remember Daddy saying Kelly and him always got into more mischief. They were in a barn one time, seesaw. And the board broke or something happened, and it hit Daddy in the top of the head. And he was blind for 3 days.
Mm.
And they were scared to death that he, you know, would be permanently blind. And he tells about his mother cooking jam cakes and setting the jam cakes in the pantry. And the window would be open, and they'd sneak in and get him a piece of cake. Well, one day, the window came down and busted his thumb. And I don't think that Papa Fryman was near as hard on his boys as Papa Linsko was. Daddy recalls Papa putting in tobacco by himself and putting it in the barn with a pitchfork, putting the sticks up
the barn. Yeah. So the boys didn't seem to help.
Well, they didn't help him near as much. I think that Harse and B were much older than Daddy. Harse was be about 72 now, and B's about 72 now. Of course, Daddy's 65. And Daddy says now he can remember so many things that his dad did and that he's doing, too,
yeah,
in farming. Now, Papaw died when he was 60, or he was 78. And he's been gone, gosh, a long time. Since I was 7 years old.
So how did his mother then raise the boys?
Well, she died when Daddy was 18.
Yeah, but I mean, between the two. So they both died fairly, the children were left pretty.
Yeah, they were left when the war broke out. I reckon that Daddy must have been, I mean, she died maybe a year before the war broke out. She died about 41. She had tuberculosis. And the two, Mary Lucille and Daddy, I reckon, were the still in school. And then Kelly was about 20 when she died.
So what did the younger ones do?
So the younger ones, Mary Lucille stayed with Papa for a while. And then she went to school, and then Daddy joined the Army, and the other three were married and gone. So Papa did stay on the farm for a little while and work after that. But then when he got to be an old man, he went and lived with his sisters. He had two sisters he lived with.
What were their names? Do you remember?
One was Laura. And the other was, I can't recall.
Yeah.
But Dad's cousin to Virgil Fryman in Washington. And Bill Fryman over Brooksville are all in one family. I think Papa must have had maybe six or seven brothers.
So
and they were all from Robson County, all Frymans.
Come back to Maze Lick. This home that you two own now, do you know anything about it?
It belonged to Joe's grandmother, and her name was Mayetta Cord Jolly. Her and her husband bought it in the 50s. There were two houses connected, and when we moved here, we tore one of the houses down. The front part of the house has been dated about 1865. Not much has been done to it. The back part was torn off and rebuilt. Three rooms across the back. The only thing I have been told, we've been here 5 years, is that this was a farm at one time in the back here. There was a stable back over in that way. And the cows, it was all fenced off. Now there's no fences at all now. And Drennan's owned it. But now, I don't know much about this place at all, as far as that goes.
You don't know who built it?
No, I have no idea who built it or anything about it.
You told me at one time you thought that it might have been a schoolhouse?
Yes. In the dining room, when Grandmother remodeled that part of it, they tore the paper off and they found where the kids had wrote on the wall. And out front, on the clapperboard, there have been initials, ABCs, carved into the wood, and they're still there. They're visible to anyone that, you know, sees
yeah.
them. The doors that go into the dining room are huge doors. They haven't been taken off or put there. And it would look like they opened it up into another area for teaching. But that's what she had told Joe, and it's also been recorded in one of the books when they remodeled the house.
Yeah, what books?
There's a history of Mays Lincoln, or one of the school PTA put out about the history of Mays Lincoln, or some of his dwellings here.
And when you talk about it connected to another house, like a row house?
Yes. Mrs. Watson told me on Sunday that she can remember when the houses had a porch cut across the front of
them. Across both of them then?
Across both of them. One big long porch. Now, when we moved here, the houses weren't connected. The old house that we tore down had no bathroom in it. It was really a better designed house than this one is. It had six rooms in it, and a cherry staircase.
What did you do with the cherry staircase?
Mr. Estill got the cherry staircase when he tore the house down.
Oh, Andy Estill? Mm-hmm.
Andy got all the wood for tearing the house down. And, of course, we bulldozed in all the foundation, and it's now a yard.
Was it a rock foundation?
Yes, it was a rock foundation. And with concrete in front of the house. And I got so amazed at all the concrete that was around here and the moldings and stuff that were on the concrete. And I asked, well, why would they put so much stuff on them? And somebody told me, said, well, that was, they made their own concrete. And they knew how to make it. And they knew how to fix it. And the people nowadays don't know how to fix concrete, right?
So they just got,
well, they go out and get a truck to do it, and it's not like they used to do it back then.
You mean it had designs on it?
Yeah, it had, you know, like moldings around the corners were smooth or rounded. They weren't squared off like they are now. And they'd have little notches in them, little lines and things that we don't do.
Yeah.
It's just too much trouble. Just too much trouble at all. And now, the part over there was rock, too. Our front part of our house has got a rock. I call it like a entranceway. It's all rock. And it did, too. But it had concrete slabs go out this way and down this way. And it's just amusing to me how they just took so much trouble with putting all this concrete in.
When you moved into this house, did you find anything left from previous owners? Or
no, this house had been pretty well cleaned before we got here. Grandmother was very neat person. And she worked for 53 years in her own business. She was co-owner of Jolly's Garage. And she worked there every day, so she wasn't really in the house much.
Yeah.
And she'd have people clean for her. The attic didn't have a whole lot of stuff you'd think you'd find in an attic. There was a sewing machine, a treadle, an old trunk filled with a dial, with little memorabilia stuff that wasn't really that much. Just a joke.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.